would, please turn with me in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 834. God's Word says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Awesome, awesome passage of Scripture. And look forward to hearing how God touches our hearts through this passage this morning. God bless you.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of keep looking. Did we dismiss Junior Church? Did they leave? Because I want to talk about them. No, I'm just teasing. I want to share with you the subject of keep on looking. I have been kind of going through some stuff with our Sunday school class on end times things, and we've touched on some of this in our Wednesday night class and our men's Bible study. And so they're probably getting a little tired of this, but, you know, deal with it. But I am amazed at the number of people who are really not paying attention to the skies. They're really not paying attention to the signs that God is giving us all over. To all of the things that are taking place, and how they're just really not looking for Jesus. And I hear from people every once in a while, you know, this second coming thing has been talked about forever and forever. But the reality of the fact is, folks, that John expected the second coming of Christ to take place while he was alive. He looked for it at that moment, and here we are, 2,000 years down the road, or a little more, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. So does that mean that we can stop looking? Does that mean that we need to turn our heads away? Well, we hadn't better. And this particular message today is not a second coming message in regards to the return of Christ, but it's a message dealing with our preparedness. If Jesus were to come back today, would you be ready? If Jesus were to come back next week, are you ready? Or let's put it a little differently. Suppose Jesus doesn't come back for another 200 years, 300 years, 500 years. There will still be an appointment for each and every one of us to stand before God. And are you ready? And the only way, you see, that we make absolutely certain that we are ready is that we keep looking. We keep looking for what's on the inside of our lives, and what are we holding? What are we holding on to? What are we letting go of? What are the things that are most deeply impacting us? And especially when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today, is our relationship with Jesus. That's what we need to keep looking for. I'm going to reread this particular passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard Version at this time. Not that Pastor Homer didn't do a great job. He did a great job. You probably have the NIV, and that's awesome. But I just want to read it from the New American Standard at this time. And look at what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, today I pray and ask that you would help us to keep looking, to keep ourselves in a continual state of evaluation where we are evaluating what is in our hearts, what is in our lives, where we are continually evaluating the passions in life that we have, and are those passions something that that would be a hindrance to our spiritual connection with you. And Father, we ask that you would reveal to us everything in our lives that needs to go, so that we can be your representatives on this earth, so that we can be your servants who make a difference in this community. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to share with you out of this particular passage of Scripture four things. I want to share with you, first of all, look up. Secondly, set up. Number three, rise up. And then number four, step up. So let's look at these four elements of our keeping looking evaluation of our own lives. And first of all, let's look at this issue of look up. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul, as he begins this passage of Scripture, he says, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Look up. You know, when we become believers, our perspective in life ought to change. Before we become believers in Christ, our vision, our eyesight is very earthly. It is very much focused on this life and on this world. It's very much focused on what is the absolute best job that I can have? What is the best way that I can make lots of money? What is the best way this? What is the best way that? And when will the Yankees win again? And so, but before we become believers, the question is, about the Red Sox. No, it's not about the Red Sox. But the question is, before we become believers, everything associated with this world. But once we enter in to a relationship with Jesus Christ, our focus goes from this plane to this plane, where we need to look up. Because we begin to understand that our redemption is not going to come from here. But instead, our redemption is going to come from heaven. And so we want to make certain that we don't become so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. We don't want to be so focused on the things of this life and so busy about the things of this life, being so overwhelmed with the cares of this life, that we miss the greater glory and the greater joy of a relationship with God. You know, and as Paul is looking at that, he starts this particular passage with those two words, if then. If then. And you'll notice that he's talking about a rising up or a looking up away from things. So look at that first verse again. He says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, made new, brought out of the spiritual deadness of life, you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have come to spiritual life. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. You know what that means? It means very simply, our prayer becomes this: God, how can I best serve you? Not how can I best serve myself or my interests, but how can I best serve you? Satan comes along and he perches on our shoulder and he whispers in our ear, "You're not worthy to serve God." You want to know the tragedy? Too many believe him. Too many fall for that trick. And so they become do-nothing believers, because they look back at their past instead of looking forward to their future. They look down instead of seeking the higher call of God. Folks, God has called you out of a world of sin into an opportunity of service. He has called you away from the sinfulness of this world into the sainthood of God. Oh, we're not saints. Isn't that something the Bible says you are? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I encourage you, go into your New Testaments, and as you're reading, go to just the first couple of verses in many of the books in the New Testament and see who those books are written to. For example, the saints at Ephesus. Saints? Yeah, to the saints at Ephesus. To those who have received Jesus Christ, who have been raised up in newness of life. That's who he's talking to. To the saints at Philippi. You see, several times the Word of God tells us we're not old sinners, but we're brand new creations. The life of the past is done. Now, I want you to understand, Satan has to do everything he can to defeat you from being everything that God wants you to be. And so he digs around in your past. And he tries everything that he can to make you say, "Unworthy, unworthy," when God is saying, "Look, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean." When God is saying, "Look, I have given you new life. Old things are passed away. Those things are done. Behold, life is new. There's fresh opportunity. There's fresh life. There's fresh everything set for you. If then you have been risen with Christ out of the spiritual deadness into the spiritual life." Folks, we need to focus on kingdom life. We need to keep our eyes towards glory, not towards the muck and the mire and the sinfulness of this world, but looking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Raise your perspective. Secondly, I want you to notice setup. Look at verse 2. "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." It's a matter of thought. Paul said it this way in another passage of Scripture, or Peter, excuse me, said it this way in 1 Peter. He said, "Let the same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, let the thoughts of your mind become the thoughts of God. Everything that is great. Look with me, if you would, at the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, just back a couple of pages. Chapter 4. This is my life verse. Philippians chapter 4, the 8th verse, reads like this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You see, it's a changing of the mind. It's a changing of the heart. It's a changing of the attitude. You are to set up your thought patterns. Too often, though, we listen to the voice of a liar, who is Satan. The scriptures tell us that Satan is a liar and he's the father of all lies. And when he comes to you, he attacks you at the areas of attitudes. He attacks you at the areas of your thought life. He attacks you at the areas of judgment. He attacks you at the areas of being a critical individual, of having a critical spirit. And none of those things honor God. But we need to be Philippians 4:8 thinkers. And allow our minds to focus on the good. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are good and lovely and of good report and all of those things that are marvelous and excellent and trustworthy, if there's anything like that, let your mind dwell. Live in that realm. Control the thoughts of your mind by setting up your thought patterns. Satan wants to break you. God wants to build you. And that's the difference in their spirits. Satan wants your destruction. God wants your life, your soul, your presence with Him forever. Satan wants you involved in sin. God wants you involved in the richness of grace. Do you know who's in control? You are. You are. Let your mind dwell on the things that are good. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you have to have a change of thought so that you've got to set up your mind in a way that brings glory to God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Number three, rise up. Look at verse 3. For you have died. You see, no matter how you say it, what the apostle is saying, your self-centeredness, once you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that ought to be crucified, that ought to be gone, that ought to be dead. And you ought to be taking on the image of your Father. For you have died. The good news, spiritually you are alive in Christ. Spiritually, you were dead. Now you are alive. And you see, it's very important. That self-centeredness, that selfishness, that sinful behavior, that died. When you received Jesus Christ in your life and He brought you life. And in bringing you life, he makes you a caretaker. That you are to guard and protect everything that he has given you. You are to guard and protect your spiritual life so that you don't let things in that dishonor God. And so that's what Paul's talking about in this third verse as he says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Once you have received Jesus Christ, once you are in the family of God, once you are in with what God has declared that he wants for you, once you have entered into a spiritual life with him, you are in God. You're no longer in yourself and your self-centeredness, for that's died. And I'm going to tell you, believer, if that hasn't died in you, there's something drastically spiritually wrong, and you need to repent of that and sacrifice yourself in that fashion. God, I want to honor you with my life. And so I sacrifice to you my thoughts. I sacrifice to you my passions. And I sanctify to you or set apart for you my privileges. I set apart for you my gifts, my talents, that I might honor you with my life. You see, that's a much higher standard than what the world has. The world wants you focused upon the death of this world, the sinfulness. But God wants you to raise your vision, to rise up in Jesus Christ, to get out of the poor, poor, pitiful me mindset, to get out of that whole idea, I can't, and realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Raise your sights. Rise up. And then number four, to keep looking, you need to step up. When Christ, who is our life, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I'm going to tell you, that's a step up. It really is. There's going to come a time, according to the Word of God, when there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound, and those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to hear that trumpet. Even if they have been dead in the grave for centuries or millennia, no matter, they're going to hear that trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a step up. Heaven and glory is going to be a place of heaven and glory. It's going to be a place of joy and happiness. It's going to be a place of reunion. It's going to be a place of peace, love, and everything that this world isn't, heaven is. Step up. God has promised us a far greater end than he promised us a current situation. In fact, God has even told us in his word that if we're going to live faithfully for Jesus Christ, we will suffer some form of persecution. But persecution is temporary and it's fleeting. Glory is eternal. Step up. Don't fall into the pits. Rise above them. Don't fall into the mire. Stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. For he is the rock. And on him, the church is built. Would you please stand? Folks, I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what your focus is. But I do know this, that if you will just lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ, your focus will change. The problems of this world will fade away and pass and melt, and the glory of the promises of God will become more real every moment. Lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. Trust him for salvation. Don't trust yourself. You can't do it. Don't trust your mom and dad. They can't do it. Trust Jesus Christ. In him is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, child comes unto the Father but through me. You can't go through this church. You can't go through any individual. You must go through Jesus Christ. He has life. So very simply, rise up. Step up. Be ready. Be focused. And watch God bless your life. I think that today we ought to end this service by singing number 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. If you're here today, I want you to know that at Faith Church, perhaps you're a visitor here today, we welcome you, we're glad you're here, but we want you to know that always the altar is open. Always. I don't care if it's during the opening prayer of a service or an opening song. If you sense that God wants you to sacrifice something over to him, and you want to come to an altar at the beginning of a service, I don't care. That's awesome. That's wonderful. You do what you feel you need to do. The close of the service, the altar is always open. I don't care if it's during a sermon. I don't care if it's during the open altar prayer time. I don't care if it's during a song. I don't care if it's during the offering. If you sense that God is speaking to you and you need to come to the altar, you come. And this morning is no different. As we close this service, we're singing a song that is not necessarily an invitation song, but it is a song of praise. And if you can't openly, honestly sing that song of praise, perhaps it would be good for you to come to the altar, get some adjustments made in your thinking, and let God be God in your life. So as we sing this, if God is speaking to you, the altar's open, we'd love to have you come and meet Jesus Christ this morning. Number 354.